I think it says, in the keeping of them, there's great reward. By your word, your servants are warned. Father, by your word, establish us. You taught me a long time ago that it's very important to talk to you, but that it's more important to listen to you, that we may know what to talk about when we talk to you. Speak to us, my Father, as you have accepted our thanksgiving, evident in Soji's life and the rest of our children, and where you have led each one of us, because our hearts this morning are full of different thanksgivings that we've spoken to only you. Father, we pray, Lord, that you will also be gracious to us in revealing the things of the kingdom, the divine truths that are not readily manifest. Reveal it to us, the things that take a little bit more to understand, that take the eyes of faith to see, the things that do not perish but last till eternal life, the things of Jesus Christ. Father, reveal a bit of Christ to us, a little bit more this morning in Jesus' name. Is there any heart that is burdened? Your word comforts. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, the pleasure lasts forever. Baba, may I pray, God, that your word will bring joy, comfort those who are downcast, those who are in trouble. I pray that we find a way as we speak about Jesus Christ, our Lord. Speak to us, bring to our remembrance, sweet spirit, whatever it is that Christ has forespoken to us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're going to talk about Easter, but I just remember this morning, the Lord had told me that I should not tailor my message to whatever the event is happening. The Lord told me a long time ago that the Christmas message is weaved in every testimony of Jesus Christ, that we should not wait till December 25. And that the story of his resurrection is the good news, that we ought to forever be reminding one another that Christ has risen, that it's as valid in April that it is. So I was really tempted to craft, because initially I didn't even remember, you know how America no longer celebrates Easter. If you are going to Easter, if it were where we grew up, in 2 weeks, you know that Easter is coming. I remember in those days, some people would even buy cloth for their children, right? They'll say it is the cloth of celebration, of festival. Then everybody will travel to their villages twice a year, Christmas and Easter. Then you meet your cousins, you know, people will bring their fancy cars, and we'll be eating watermelon in my cousin's house, and we'll be so tripped on Easter. It was a big deal, big, big deal, right? But here, I don't even think tomorrow is a public holiday. Friday wasn't. No, there's no Easter public holiday in the US. So we are going to have to weave Easter into every single Sunday, for Easter message is the most powerful message ever. So please bear with me. I don't have an Easter message. I said Jesus has risen. He rose as much in January as he has today. Today is the 17th of April. August 31, my wife's birthday, he would have risen. Oh, bless the Lord that he has risen. If not for the resurrection of Christ, where will you and I? All of our achievements will mean nothing. But today, by the grace of God, we're going to look into what, in my mind, we continue with Luke, but in my mind, Anika actually made me think about it as we were driving to church. I didn't have a title, but I think the title of this message will be The Resurrected Life. Because I figured that the essence of Easter, and this is, if I remember, it's in chapter 23 of the book of Luke. On that morning of crucifixion, as Christ was being led on, the Bible says there were a lot of people that were ready to connect a lot of emotional value to his dying on the cross. He said that there were women and kids, women, they said specifically, you know how women are prone to cry more than men. That's true. We're teaching our boys that it's okay to cry as well, because they are really crying inside. They're just too weak to cry outside. We think it's strength. Now we know that it's easy to just let it go and cry the cry and be yourself, rather than because they are crying inside. Was this Toya stigma that it's somehow wrong for a man to cry? No, not so. If you feel like crying, crying is the most honest thing to do. So there were women crying, and I was wondering why the men weren't. The men were scared. You know, Peter, remember the story of Peter? They were scared and running away. Women were crying and going to the cross, going to where the action was. Isn't that strange? The men will not cry, but they'll be scared and run away. The women, we cry. But they were right there. They were not ashamed to show that they were disciples of Jesus. They were right there when Christ was carrying the cross. They weren't afraid. They just cried. Men did not cry, but they were afraid and they ran away. Anyway, that's sermon for another day. Please, I just want to talk. Hopefully, this wouldn't take too long. The Bible says that the Lord who had not spoken, remember the Bible taught us that they were doing all these bad things to Christ and he did not say a word. Because the Bible says that he was fulfilling the prophecy that says that on that day, he will not raise his voice. He will not smother a smoking flax. And that reminds me, you people wouldn't know what a smoking flax is, but if you've ever been to an African village, grandma, you know it. You know those lamps that, if I remember clearly, it would be palm oil that they use for the oil base, and then they'll put a piece of thread and it will be smoking, right? And it's so easy to put it off. Actually, that's the idea. You can just touch it and it's off, right? It's very delicate. But Christ will be so gentle on this day that he will not even put that kind of thing out. Then a reed is really a dry piece of plant thereabout. So he will not break it. They're the easiest. If you do any gardening, you know that when your plant is dried out, it's easy to break. Christ will be so gentle that he will not even break that. His voice will not be heard in the street. So Christ had been fulfilling all of this prophecy on this particular original Easter. I know Easter is the resurrection, but I'm talking about the whole weekend. But he spoke. And I would think the Son of God will have a lot to say. He had been speaking for 3 years about what the essence of the kingdom was. But on this particular day, it was memorable. That even when it was under this particular weekend that we celebrate, even when it was under attack, the Bible says it did not say a word. Are you the Son of Man, the Son of God? Thou seest. I'm sorry. Yeah, he did not have, the Lord did not preach the Sermon on the Mount on this day. The time for sermon was over. It was now the time to go do the work that the Lord had for him. So on the mind of Jesus this morning, his gaze was steadfast to the cross to finish the work. So his last word pre-resurrection was, it is finished. That's focus. I always say to Simi, focus. Focus. Damilola, focus. Soji, please tell them, focus. Tenny, tell them, focus. Stay with it. It's just 3 days. Focus. Christ was focused, but he broke the focus in 23 of Luke. That's not where we're going. The Bible says, I saw the women weeping, displaying this love that they had for him, that we celebrate, we are displaying today. As well, they remember, they saw the cross, they saw Simeon of, I don't know what his last name, Simeon of Cyrene, carrying the cross. They were weeping. And Christ had only one word before he got on the cross for them. He broke protocol. He shelves prophecy aside a little bit to teach a lesson to you and I every time we celebrate Easter. He said, O daughters of Zion, do not cry for me. Then I will show you who to cry for. Cry for your sons. Cry for your daughters. Because if they do not repent, the worst thing that what happened that weekend will happen to them. I'm thinking that is how we Christians ought to celebrate Easter. We ought to celebrate Easter by asking ourselves, what was the essence of Easter? I really wasn't joking, right? I was just being a little glib with Simeon and Anika as we were driving to church this morning. I said to them,
I imagine that Jesus will be looking down from above this morning. And many of us might think he will be very glad that many nations have dedicated these days to celebrate him. I was wondering, will Jesus really be very happy that the United States of America, the United Kingdom of the world, the Vatican, every nation today remembers him? Maybe. We don't really know. Maybe. But if you know much about Jesus Christ, our Lord, he really, really isn't much into what do I call it? Symbolisms. Or culture. Abi, where should I go? If we know anything about Jesus, we know that he's always focused. He's always going to the reason and the substance behind all symbols. So it's likely that this morning, as songs are lifted in every cathedral and church in the world to our Lord Jesus Christ, what Christ will be searching for in every church is that the reasons for which I went to the cross fulfilled in your life, are the people celebrating me living the resurrected life? Because the essence of resurrection is not just historical, although it's historical. It is that he may save his people from their sins, and in him we may find a whole new life. And I think that's the question for us on Easter. If you want to celebrate someone, I think you ought to ask them, how do you want to be celebrated? And I think Jesus Christ this morning will say, celebrate my death and my resurrection by obeying me. Make sure that the life that I've given to you is lived to the fullness. Make sure that your light so shines before men that they see your good works. When he left, he said, you are the light of the world. So we ought to make sure in celebration of his resurrection that we are shining his light everywhere. This is the challenge of Easter. Our Lord Jesus Christ, I was joking with my children that I don't think Christ will appreciate singing about his cross if we're not living for his cross. And our challenge is to ask ourselves this morning, that have we celebrated Christ with our lives? Is the very essence of Easter established in our Christian walk? This is the greatest compliment that we can pay. When you play, you don't play compliment, you pay compliments. Okay, that we can pay to Jesus our Redeemer. And that's what I think about. It's not, you know, people, they have turned Easter around for us. It used to be Palm. When we reenact that time when our Lord entered Jerusalem and that wonderful declaration that Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed he is he who comes in the way of. Now, it's Easter bunnies and something eggs, right? Something bunnies and something eggs. How did it come about bunnies and eggs? How did that happen? How do you connect rabbits? You have a scoop on that. You're looking at me like you have a scoop on it. She's talking to me, not to you. Yes, yes. No, really. Okay, so they replicated.
But they weren't doing, but since we have a secular culture, it's not they were jettisoning anything that has to do with.
When you go repeat. Kevin, jettison the curry. Yeah, I'm learning, honestly. I'm learning. So really, so they did it.
So if the secular culture has adopted that, just anything
to lower the
jettison, just like Christmas really was not. The pagan culture of the children, and Christians wanted to celebrate Christ instead. But as the culture has become more and more secular, it's just jettison this and embrace anything that has nothing to do with the Christ.
Ah, they have done it to. The world has done that to us. But have we also replaced the symbol, the cross, with the substance, the Christ? That's what the world, Sister Kemi described what the world, what Satan has done using the world. But what have we ourselves done? Have we in the church replaced Father Christmas for the Christ of Christmas? Those are questions. They are valid questions. And if we don't take time to, in our homes, in our lives, settle down, we'll be washed, carried along with the culture without really knowing what we're doing. We'll become Hallmark Christians. I call Hallmark Christians. Hallmark is making a lot of money from us Christians. They weren't making enough, so they invented Teacher's Day. They invented Pastor's Day. Now they will invent Twins Day. All of this time we're celebrating, but they're making money. Anyway. Sister Kike, why do you think Jesus Christ, sincerely, from what we know, and listen, these questions I'm asking, I think they are valid questions. It's okay to go in there, open the Bible, and let's read it. And we've been reading it for some time, but I think it takes our voices translating it for us to be able to apply it in our gathering to ourselves and our context. That's why I like to give an understanding of what Scripture says and then have us discuss it. Sincerely, what do you think Christ would want this morning the most? Of course, he will want an appreciation of what he has done for mankind, no doubt. Right? But if your children have a list, Christmas list of the things they want, and you choose number 6, is that fair? And you can afford number 1, and they've worked hard to deserve it. What is the number 1 thing that Jesus would want this morning? Let's forget what's on CNN. Let's forget what the cards, let's forget anything. But just let's talk. This Easter morning, from what we know of scriptures, what do you think Jesus, our Redeemer, would want the most? Actually, thank you. When the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to the men on the way to Emmaus, the very last chapter of the book of Luke, I was curious. From verse 46 of Luke chapter 24, he reminded them of everything he had told them. Then from verse 46, this man said, he then said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Necessary. He declared his own resurrection as such, as just one event, one necessary event. He went on, and that repentance and remission of sins could be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Necessary. 48. And you are witnesses of these things. Here the Lord connected his resurrection with the preaching of repentance of sins. We cannot remember Easter without remembering the word of lost sinners, without remembering the gospel. Because Easter necessitated the preaching of the good news, and you and I are witnesses. We are born to be witnesses of that. The celebration of Easter is take time today to talk to one relative or the other. Take 5 minutes and pray. Try one more time to tell someone about Jesus our Lord, about why resurrection is important to them, about the hope that Christ brings to the whole of mankind. Go get yourself out of character. When you pick up the phone and you say Happy Easter, you have done one necessary step. And like Christ said, let's now explain again that he died for their sins, that his resurrection brings hope to the whole of mankind. 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. And then he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And that was how Christ went, and they went rejoicing and doing what Christ wanted them to do. Let's remember good news, Christ died for me. Good news, if I believe. Good news, I'll live eternally. Mugbabi. Such wonderful kinikon good news. That's the line I miss. Somewhat? Such wonderful, excellent good news. The people you don't have the courage to tell, sing that song into their ears. It is so important for people to hear why Jesus died. It's so important for people to remove that cross from their neck and put it in their hearts. We should not allow them to wear it on their neck alone, because Jesus means it to be in their heart. Let the potsherd of the earth celebrate the potsherd of the earth. One day we'll be at the banquet feast, of the Lamb, feast of the Lamb. Jesus himself will be the chairman. The day of celebration is coming, but now is the time to witness. Let the Vatican celebrate the symbols. We, that the Holy Spirit has, I'm not saying everybody in the Vatican, have learned, let me clarify myself. Oh, they are wonderful priests and nuns, so I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that they are the custodians of the customs. And thank God, some of these customs, they've done it and preserved it, and we enjoy them. But we have a short life. Let's focus on the substance. Good news, as you chop the rice, sing the song, tell the gospel. That is what Jesus will be happy about. I was saying to Anike and Simi in the car that if Christ wanted to be feted and celebrated, he would have simply taken over the throne of Herod and his chariots. He deliberately chose the cross. He deliberately chose the path of the most resistance, because that's the path that will bring salvation to mankind. And now he's being celebrated in heaven. And we celebrate him by our knowledge of his sacrifice. But we celebrate him more by also going forth and making disciples of all men. Give me time. 11:38. The resurrected life. I want to read something. Please, do you mind if we just read the story of, or rather show Luke chapter 16 of Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus and the rich man. In Luke chapter 16, as we close this morning, I'll start reading from verse 19. The resurrected life. The Lord Jesus Christ, at this morning, I really want us to remember that Christ died that we may be saved. Just brass tacks, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his most precious, his only, not just most precious, his only natural son. That you and I believing in Jesus Christ, we should not perish, but we should have everlasting life. We're already condemned, we were, but he did not bring his son to condemn us, but that we through Jesus may have life. Let's not kid ourselves. Life is tough now. It doesn't feel eternal yet. It's rough out here. This whole place is not made for us as natural Christians. The culture is against us. It's so hard to walk worthy of the Lord. Unless, if you disagree with me, raise your hand. Anybody that the Christian walk has been okey-doke. Let's be honest about ourselves. Yet, the word says he has come to give to us eternal life. Another kind of life. Obviously, if this life is tough, it means Christ was not talking about this 80, 60. No matter how much you accomplish in this world, it's strife. Everything we gain, we will lose. You rear children only for them to move to Texas. Nothing is ever permanent. All the money you spend on them. How does it work that way? Listen, we're in it. Brethren, you buy car, it gets old. Where's your RAV4 of those days?
Where's the Honda Accord? I remember when you bought the Honda Accord. I have a car. Now that thing is probably rusted somewhere. Where was your position of yesterday? What is it all about, Auntie? What is it all? We're all getting old. Welcome on board. Welcome on board. Look, that's your future. There's got to be more. We talk about here, Jesus always talked about the hereafter. The context of the good news is eternal life, brethren. This life doesn't make sense. We've tasted it. All of you here have stayed in great hotels. Is it about that? I've been to some of your homes, even if it's not in Malibu or whatever it's called. You guys live in some really lovely homes. Even if you haven't lived, you have relatives that you visited with. Some of you have flown. None of you own a jet. Well, maybe you spoiled yourself, or maybe you've been upgraded to first class. If you are traveling on the company's money, you probably flew business class several times. I know all of you here, you won't buy business class yourself. I know. You frugal people, all of you. Even though some of you have the money, you won't fly it. It is not here. What will it profit a man if we were to gain the whole world and lose eternal life? God has given to us the grace to experience it and know there's nothing here. Christ died to give us something way superior. It comes through grind and torture and the cross and shame. Via Dolorosa. Via Dolorosa. Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering. There Christ, the Messiah, died. And he died, sha. May the power of resurrection consume our hearts, brethren. Please hold on to the substance. So the Lord told this parable that I want us to close with. You all know the parable. Please bear with me. People accuse me that I don't read directly from the scripture. I'd rather give the sense. Luke 16. From verse 19, he said, there was a certain rich man. He had everything. That's verse 19. He ate well. He was clothed in purple. For some reasons, in those days, purple was a material, not color, right? Purple was like silk, right? It was both. Sister Ronke, oh, you didn't live in those days. You'd have been a seller of purple if you were living in those days. I don't see purple on you. Anyway, so there was that rich man who could afford the best of material, the best of designers from Paris. From Paris. He had Italian leather shoes. I'm making this up, but you get the picture. He had money. He could afford anything. He was in a mosque. He fed sumptuously every day. And then, by contrast, there was a beggar. He had a name. His name was Lazarus. Not your regular kind of beggar. It was a beggar with sauce. The worst kind of beggar. And of course, the beggar goes to the gate of the rich man to pick from the crumbs, verse 21, that fell from the rich man's table. By the way, he did not go to the dining room. So the picture is not that he was sitting under the rich man's table and grabbing whatever fell down. The picture is when the sumptuous rich man had dined, like most of us, they gathered the remnant, they took it to the kitchen. The things that were not even worthy to remain in the kitchen with the staff, they took those to the trash can, and that became the breakfast dinner for that poor man. How many of us are like this? None of us. Thank God. But it was a Christian brethren. So 22, the beggar died. And preachers make a big deal of this. And I think it's a big deal, but that's fine. They said he was carried to Abraham's bosom by angels. And the old time preacher will say, but the rich man died and he was buried. And then we can create a whole sermon out of that. But it's just one verse. So we're not, that's not where we're going. But it has a significance that although, anyway, I think the Bible says that later. Don't let me preempt that. And the rich man, 23, was in torment in Hades. This man that lived well was in torment in hell. He lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off, but Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. Let me go to my notes here because some things occurred to me. This Easter morning, I just want to say to some of you who are not having it easy, some of you whose life is like Lazarus's, I think this story is really useful if you're at the point in your Christian race where heaven and hell feel more like a tale than real life. If some of you are sitting here and you're questioning the existence of eternal judgment and heaven and hell, this parable is for you this Easter morning. Many of us have lost perspective about what the Christian walk is. This parable is for you. Because our entire culture teaches us that to be sumptuous and comfortable, to have your prayers answered immediately, to experience miracles and wonders, that was what Jesus died for. But Christ in this parable revealed to us that that wasn't necessarily what he died for. If your life looks more, if you are looking for God this morning and for a long time you can't find him, this parable tells you Jesus is thinking about you. Because there's a man called Lazarus who was like this. This parable should pep you up that Christ, the Son of God who resurrected, has you in mind. He has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten Lazarus. Here Jesus was giving a very direct portrait of heaven and what life is. So, verse 24. This man who was rich, the tabloids had him. The earth worshipped him. He had his private jet. He was successful, well-respected at work. He signed people's paycheck. People say that the ultimate is to be an entrepreneur. Well, he was an entrepreneur. The Bible doesn't say it. I'm just imagining that. He must be a business owner. But anyway. And this rich man in 24 cried. He said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Then he thinking that Lazarus was still his houseboy. I mean, you wouldn't think that he knew Lazarus' name, right? All of the time that he drove by Lazarus in his Bentley. You wouldn't think that he knew. But when he got to hell, he remembered Lazarus' name. Look at verse 25. Look at verse 25. Actually, 24. He says, send Lazarus that he may dip. He still thought Lazarus was his houseboy that he could just send, right? He didn't know that the table level has changed, like the Pentecostal preacher said. But Christ was teaching us this, brethren. So let him put his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. When we say walk righteous, get ready for the coming of Jesus, the stake is high, brethren. Sermons today don't remind us that there's a hell. There's a hell that is full of torment. Mark chapter 9, where the worms never die. And Christ is saying it here. The stake is not just that you may reign eternally with the Lord. The scariest stake is that if you miss that call, where you end up is everlasting torment. There are only two areas. That was why Jesus endured the cross. Don't you wish that if you didn't make heaven, like in that phrase, let's use that phrase, whatever that means, that at least your soul will float around somewhere where there'll be nothingness, right? That would be a great option. I wish. There are only two options. If you miss heaven, you will not miss hell.
The stake is much higher. We must open our mouths and declare the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ, brethren. It is no play. Every soul, 9:27 Hebrews, it's been given unto man to die once. And after that, there's a great judgment. 2 Corinthians 5. We must all stand before the judgment seat of the Lord to give account of everything that we have done in the flesh, whether good or evil. I wish there was a demilitarized zone. This rich man wanted a drop of water. But where I'm going today was what Abraham said. He says, son, remember that in your lifetime, you received good tidings, and likewise, Lazarus received evil things. But now he's comforted and you are tormented. May we not receive our good things in this life alone in Jesus' name. The resurrection of Jesus Christ by faith in his name guarantees. No matter what you go through in this life, brethren, don't give up. It's worth it. The Bible says that there's nothing that can be compared to the glory, that the suffering of the present time cannot be compared to the glory. You and I, we're not worthy of this glory. It's unimaginable. Unimaginable. It's a wonderful thing that we'll be called joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And believe me, the same Christ who resurrects guarantees that one day we will all resurrect with him. Lazarus inclusive. How many of us here have it as bad as Lazarus? None of us. And Christ has gone to guarantee us something that is denied to many. So remember that in your life, you received your good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and you are tormented. Tell me, brethren, who now has the better part? The rich man's comfort was for a little while. Lazarus' suffering was for a little while. The rich man's consolation was for a little while. Lazarus' suffering, comfort was forevermore. That is why on this Easter morning, Isaiah said to us in Isaiah 61 from verse 1 to 3, somewhere in there, he says we should, that the gospel should be preached to the what? To the poor. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the what? There's a song that says, and as usual, I don't know how to sing, so I'm going to butcher it. Whoever knows it. Skinny corn needs Jesus. The world needs Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus or something. Who knows it? La 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 la. La 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 la. Everyone needs Jesus. Well, I guess you guys are not much helpful this morning. That's okay. I know that song is here. I just don't have find the word. So everyone needs Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus. Everyone needs you. There was a song charging that. Open your mouth and tell somebody about Jesus because everyone needs Jesus. They need Jesus more than they need food. They need Jesus more than they need a job. They need Jesus more than they need health. They need Jesus more than they need anything. Let's not kid ourselves. The Christian walk is not easy unless you keep your focus on the end of the walk. Let's put ourselves in Lazarus' shoes as we close. How do you think Lazarus felt every time he dragged himself to pick up food from the trash after his morning devotion? Remember, I was a Christian. So I figured he would have said, give me my daily bread. And the answer to his prayer will be the trash can. Because we tend to put ourselves in the other shoe. But you try that on. This man was a Christian, right? He was in Abraham's bosom. So he was a worshiper of God, right? How do you think he would have felt? And I say that because there are some of you that morning after morning, there's some pain. There's some pain. Like Lazarus, don't give up. How many people did he try to give a tract to and they just kicked at him and they said, if your God can't feed you, I don't want a part of him. Imagine Lazarus would have experienced that, right? Imagine someone with sores coming to you to preach the good news. In fact, some preachers say it. They say, if your God has not blessed you, I don't want a part of your God.
They say, if you are poor, you cannot preach on my pulpit. Thank God that any a riffraff like me can preach on this pulpit. If not, I would not have qualified in many pulpits. Put yourself in Lazarus's shoes if you are complaining on this Easter morning. We must put context in scriptures. We must personalize stories of the Bible and make them real to ourselves. Am I over preaching? I'll soon end. How many Christians would have passed Lazarus and said to him, my God is not a poor God? How many times will he have come to church and sat down next to his sister and he smelled? Especially sisters that are sensitive to smell. And he smelled. What's the Lazarus in your life? I think that's a Pentecostal thing to say, right? It doesn't really mean anything. You just say, you know, but those cliches, what's the Lazarus in your life? Please forget, I couldn't help myself. How many Christians would have told him, to be such a sufferer, you must have been a sinner? How many of his Christian brothers would have thrown him a coin, but they would not look him in the eyes and see that there's a person behind the source? Are you that kind of Christian? Be slow before you answer, because resurrection morning is a morning for repentance. Because that Lazarus is heading to heaven. The Bible says that we look at things from the outside appearance, Abi, but God looks from the inside. Oh my goodness. How many Lazaruses were not invited to your children's birthday party and your own celebration? But they don't have the right clothes. Let's put ourselves in the shoes of Lazarus heading to heaven. Those are very hard shoes to wear, brethren. They are so hard that times, unless God forces you into those shoes, you don't think about them. But let's think about them so that we can be effective witnesses of Jesus Christ. Now, let's put ourselves in the rich man's shoes. How many pastors would have called him blessed, although he was going to hell? How many of them would have offered him prominent seats in their churches? Because, of course, people like the rich man give the fattest offering. Oh my goodness. Why they told Lazarus to sit at the back? Although Lazarus was the most spiritual man, he did not look like the most spiritual man. The rich man's voice was the voice that everybody chose to hear. How many ministers do you think met the rich man and they forgot to preach Jesus to him because he was the rich man? But rather, they flattered him. They invited him to events while he was heading to hell. And for those who preached to him, how many times were their motives, was the secret motive to convert him just because they want him as members of their churches? Not for his soul, but for his influence. Dangote, Elon Musk attends my church. That must be a very important church to attend. And then your church turns into a church of influence. Remember that passage from A.W. Tozer that we had during the prayer and fasting? We need to pay attention to those. When the rich man died, maybe someone even said, he's in a better place now. I bet someone said it. He's in a better place now. And then they preach a grand sermon, perfectly rhythmic, at his funeral. And it was recorded on video. I don't know, nobody will watch it afterwards. but the show must continue. It's Vegas Christianity. Anyway, so the rich man wanted Abraham to send an evangelist to his brothers in their Park Avenue apartment. Now he was hungry for the truth. But Abraham said, nada, nada, nada. No, 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 no. There's Bookie there. No, 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 no. There's Tisha there. No, 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 no. There's Tenny there. If they do not listen to grandma, if they do not listen to Derek, they will not listen if I send a prophet to them. But I want a little twist to that. Is it possible that a rich man could have said, if not that it was too hot in hell that day, I wasn't thinking right? I wanted to say, if I were him, but I would never be him in Jesus' name. I don't want to be where he is. If he was in his right mind, could he have retorted to Abraham and said, but Deborah is not talking about Jesus to them now. But Shegun is not mentioning Jesus to them now. But Wale is not talking about Jesus to them. I think he might have had a case in that dialogue, right? Maybe Abraham would have said, maybe we should reconsider sending Elijah back. I'm just joking. Smile, guys. It's not theology. I was just joking. I'm not propounding some strange theology. But think. So I close with this statement. Christ said, there will be no other sign given to this generation except the sign of Jonah, which is also the sign of Jesus, that the Son of Man will be raised up. May the words we hear today not stand against us in judgment day. Let us pray. Just make us disciples, Father. You've given us money. You have apartments. We have cars. We have children. But please make us disciples. The word said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Do not give us all these nice things and deny us the greatest gift of all. Make our hearts pliant or pliable. Let us see the reformation of our society. Help us, Father, to overcome our cultures and constraints. When you sent us to the U.S., you did not send us to merely build houses and accomplish great things, but to shine the light of your glory. We're weak. And quite frankly, Lord, I'm personally a little desperate. I'm 50 years old. I'm a little desperate, Lord, and I'm tired. I really do want to see your kingdom come and your will done on earth, Lord. I know you will not do it at my words, but you search deep within and you know what we really want. I'm tired, Lord. I really do want to see your kingdom come. I want to see families transformed. I want to see real joy. Father, do not give us a temporary joy and deny us that which only you can do. I want to see people born again. Poor or rich, I want to see them transformed by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to see your kingdom come and your will done. I want to see people broken. I want to see poor people rejoicing. Not because they found a job alone, but because they found a joy that nothing can touch. It's a miracle, a miracle. I want to see good doctrine prosper in the land. I want to see CNN silenced. No. Father, I want to see the news item on CNN include the revival that is taking place in the inner cities. I want to see them say, we can't explain this. I want to see wonder, Lord. I don't want to stutter when I preach. I don't want to have to sweat when I'm trying to persuade a colleague. I want you to take over, Lord.
We want to see strangers walk into this church and fall under the anointing of the Most High, the power of your resurrection. Baba, you said the ground is hard and it should be plowed. Please plow it up. You said with joy we will draw from the well of salvation. Father, I want to see the joy you've given us in this church. I want to see it sprinkled all over. After all, it is for your people that you died, to give hope. Father, I pray that you make us. You said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Help us to fish men, to fish them from this mall. Father, in fact, we are tired of going out. Your disciples did not fish by going out. You filled them. You ordered them. You compelled them. In fact, you told them to remain. And you pushed them out. The apostle said, "Woe am I if I do not preach the good news?" We don't feel your woe. Father, put your woe upon us so that we'll not be ashamed. This is our prayer. Thank you for Easter, Lord. Please bless us and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.